Hi there, I'm board-certified professional organizer Kathy Burns. I'm really glad you're here. This podcast is designed for busy entrepreneurs just like you who want to take better control of your business and move forward with less stress and more success. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. The Organize Energize podcast is produced for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at thepodcast.organizeandenergize.com. Come back often and feel free to add this podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow me on Twitter at Organize Energy and Facebook. All links are in the show notes. Now let's get into the show. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm so glad you're here. Today, I'm going to introduce you to a lady named Janelle Anderson. Janelle is my girlfriend, and she is a virtual events visionary. She helps coaches stop chasing clients and start filling their coaching programs with ease. With over 20 years of experience launching, leading, teaching, and hosting events, and more than a decade in the coaching industry, Janelle has cracked the code on using simple, high-converting virtual workshops as a client enrollment system that actually works. Yes, it does. As a business mentor and virtual event specialist, Janelle has helped countless coaches turn workshops and speaking opportunities into thriving, sustainable businesses without hustle, burnout, or awkward selling. Yeah, Janelle's approach replaces guesswork with clarity and turns visibility into real client momentum. You're going to love her. She's an ICF credential professional certified coach, an 8-time international best-selling author, and an award-winning speaker. Her mission is simple and bold. More successful coaches equals more transformed lives. Get ready to meet Janelle. Hello, as promised, I'm here with Janelle. She is the virtual events visionary, now turned workshop queen. So welcome, Janelle.
Thank you.
I love people who have the expertise in leading events and creating events, and that's really why I wanted to have you on the show. So I'm so appreciative of you being here. And I know that you have a lot of gold information that our people can take away that are listening. And if you've ever thought of running an event or a workshop, we got the girl right here. So thank you.
I'm the queen. I'm the queen.
Yeah, the workshop queen now. Woo!
So I'm going to have to start wearing a little crown or something.
I know. It's good. So tell me about your journey. How did you turn into the workshop queen, by the way?
Yeah. So kind of a windy road, but I started my coaching business 11 years ago, and I actually have done workshops from the beginning. I've done hundreds and hundreds of workshops. That was my go-to strategy when I started. I remember walking by the library thinking, oh, maybe I could do a workshop in the library. And I went in and asked them, and the head librarian was like, yes, and we'll even promote you. We'll put you on our calendar. We'll email our patrons. We'll put flyers out. And I was like, okay. And so it worked really well for me. I started doing them every month at a different local library. And then I rented a space of my own. I started kind of building that following and with these monthly workshops. And at the time, my focus was on women, midlife women especially. And I was just doing one-on-one coaching at the time. And then, of course, COVID hit and everybody went online. And I was online anyway, but now I went totally online. And I had to pivot a little bit and learn a new strategy for promoting and even, you know, showing up, how you show up differently. And so I've always done workshops. My problem was over the years that I didn't have a real good strategy. So I had to learn how to structure the workshop in such a way that it would lead people to an offer and I could start, you know, making more money. I was making money, but it wasn't like a system. So I have now gotten to that place where it's a system. But anyway, I was doing the workshops. I was working with women, and it took a while for me to eventually evolve into coaching coaches and around their business. And I, because I thought, you know, and I was working with my mentor, and he told me, you should be teaching people to do virtual events, because I was on his event team and I was doing events. And I'm like, huh, maybe. And by then I was kind of working with business owners and entrepreneurs. And then it gradually landed on coaches because I thought, well, this really works well for me. It's a great model for coaches to, especially early coaches who are trying to find those clients and always chasing them, you know, it feels like you're chasing them and trying to find them on social media. And they'll always say, like, how do I find clients? And I say, well, that's the wrong question. The question is, how do I help my clients find me? and really
Ooh, that's a good
award.
one. Think about, hey, that's a mic drop, all right?
That's a mic drop.
Did you hear that? Say it again, Janelle.
How do I help my clients find me?
Boom.
Boom. And running a workshop that is the same workshop, because I was doing random topics and just picking a topic out of the air, and it didn't really match anything I was doing. And so, like, one of them was called How to Talk to Anyone, and I attracted a bunch of introverts who just wanted to learn how to carry on a conversation. And they had a good time, and the local paper sent a reporter and a photographer. It was a great time, but they weren't my audience. I didn't make any sales. So this is one workshop with one core topic, one message that leads people to the next step with you, and you refine it and test it. So then it becomes a system, and you run it regularly, every month, every couple of months, and then your clients are finding you.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So doing it, the testing of the system is always the thing. And how do you, so actually, I love the library thing. I spoke in libraries for many years and they actually pay you and promote you. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, they didn't pay me, but I did get clients. So
Well, that's good. So you got paid in a better way,
I
actually.
did. Yeah.
Because I was doing workshops and not getting clients, but getting paid by the library. So
Oh, yeah.
yeah, I think you had the better end of that one. But how do you do the testing? Like if people were starting out and they have to select their one topic for the one perfect client, how does that go? How does that work?
Well, you start with the offer. What is it you're going to offer? What is that next step you want them to step into? So you have that nailed down and clear, and it could be a coaching program. A lot of my clients are still doing one-on-one coaching, so we work on that first. What does that program look like? And it needs to be not just sessions. Coaches try to sell sessions. People don't buy coaching sessions. They buy results and transformation. And so a lot of coaches are so focused on the coaching sessions themselves and talking about how that works, and it doesn't sell. So we put together a package, a program that takes their clients from where they are now to where they want to be, and is packaged with, other, the coaching sessions are the center of it, but there's other things, right, that make it a program that shows people this is the result you're going to get. And it has to, of course, speak to their core problem, whatever problem they want solved. So we do that first. And once we figure out what that looks like, then we plan the content for the workshop so that it naturally leads to that offer and it makes total sense. And your workshop content is actually seeding your offer all the way through. It's really meant to take people by the hand and lead them step by step to this next thing that they can do that's going to really give them results. So you have to know what that is. And then you go back through and plan out the content, it makes it much easier to plan the content there. And you don't need a lot of content. I tell people, think of your workshop as an appetizer. Don't give them the full buffet.
That's always the kicker. That's always the kicker is like, how much do you tell them and how much do you, yeah, you
Think
don't
of
give
it
them the meat
as
and
a
potatoes.
taste.
Maybe you give them the potatoes.
Yeah, get to give them a taste of what you do. And when you're not giving a lot of content, that leaves you lots of space for interaction, for them to maybe do a little exercise, for them to come up and be coached by you. It leaves so much more room for that interaction and that connection to happen, which is going to be better for you than a ton of content. If you're interacting with them and bringing them into it and they're asking questions, they're connecting with you, it's building trust, and people buy when they trust. So then you don't need to have a bunch of content. And it's magical. And you can actually transform people's lives inside your workshop, even if they don't become your client. I've seen this happen over and over again, which makes it super fun and very powerful.
Which is interesting. How do they transform if they don't have a lot of meat, right? So how does that all happen? That's magical.
Yeah, there's sort of a delicate balance between having content and giving value with your content and leaving that space for people to interact, because people learn better when they actually take a piece of content and do something with it in some way. Whether it's like, okay, I'm going to give you a journal prompt on this. Let's take 5 minutes. We'll put some music on. And then they come back from that and you're like, what was that like? What came out of that? And let them share, And then go to the next point and teach a little bit and then have something else for them to do. And then they're going to remember it, they're going to internalize it, they're going to take your content and make it their own instead of just listening to information. People actually don't want information, they want transformation.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Another mic drop.
Another one.
You're just full of them. I tell
I'm
you
full of them. Yes.
what. I love that. Well, talk to me about a story of one of your coaches or just one of your most memorable experiences that you've had with some of your client with one of your clients.
Yeah. Well, I love to tell this one story. Now, she didn't become a client, but I tell this story to demonstrate how this idea of interacting with them and bringing them into the event with you, and how it can transform a life and bring you clients. So it was a 3-day event actually on storytelling. And halfway through the second day, this woman came on camera who had been totally silent off camera the whole time. And we were talking about finding your own story and how to share your story and all of that. And she comes on camera and she says, "I don't have a story." And she looked like she had just, had the weight of the world on her shoulders. You could tell she'd had a hard life. And I said, now I could have just said, "Oh, go back to the worksheet and work on a little bit." I could have taken her back to content. But I realized this was a moment. Somebody needed to be seen and heard and validated and space held for her. So I took the time and I asked her, "Tell us a little bit about your life." And she starts telling the story about being homeless, living in her car for several months. I don't know how long it was, I don't remember. And how she somehow clawed her way out of that, had found a job, and was now living in a home. And I'm like, "You have a story. Like, what?" And everybody in the room was just like crying. And I'm like, "Do you see the effect your story is having on people? You can totally impact people's lives. Like, oh my gosh, So at the rest of the event, she came on camera, she was lighting up, she was smiling. And at the end of it, she announced to everybody, "I'm going to start a coaching business." Great, awesome, awesome. And she did not become my client. She couldn't jump into my program yet. And a few months, this was a couple years ago. A few months ago, I'm on Facebook and I see a post from the same woman announcing she was launching her coaching business. And I
Yay.
actually have a call with her scheduled because I want to find out what happened. Because
Yeah.
she's out there and I'm like, "Oh my gosh." And so what hit me in that moment was like, in that moment, in that workshop, I gave her some space. I let her be valued and seen and heard, and it changed her life. Now, she didn't become my client, but in that event, I don't know, three or four people did step into my program. So they were watching that and feeling that. And, so that's just a great example of what I'm talking about, that when you infuse that kind of stuff into your workshops, it's a game changer for sure.
And it comes back, I think, to interaction, giving them the space to do interactive, and then what do you think? How did it
Yeah,
feel?
what's coming up for you? What insights did you get out of that? You can put them in breakout rooms for a few minutes and share with each other. That's always good. You can do like impromptu things. I mean, it just make it fun and interesting. A lot of times coaches are like, "I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do in my workshop." And so then when we're planning it out, we have like three what I call content blocks, which are just stepping stones to that offer as far as what you're going to talk about. And usually it should be something that helps them overcome a false belief they have around whatever your topic is. And then we build into those blocks, okay, what are you going to do here? Are you going to tell a story? That's always good too. Are you going to have them do a little exercise? Are you going to do like a demo or a hot seat kind of demonstration? And so you put that in and you plan that in, and that way, it's just baked into your workshop. And sometimes people are nervous about that interaction. Like, what if they ask me a question I don't know the answer to? That's a big one. I'm afraid to go off script. I have one client who was very stuck to her script. She was doing workshops and she was reading her script and just totally, and she was not connecting with her audience at all. And I said, "You need to just throw that script away and trust yourself. You know this stuff. It's like it oozes out of you in conversation. Just trust yourself. So she did. She finally did. And she said, "Oh my gosh, it's so much fun now. And they're interacting with me. And I don't need my script. And they're stepping into my program, you know." So
Yay.
yeah, it's just trusting yourself. And if you don't know an answer to something, you don't know the answer. You can just say, "Hey, I really don't know. Anybody else in here know?"
Yeah, it's so funny. I just did a workshop earlier today for my Google class, and there was something I didn't know, and three of the women figured it out, and they all collaborated and figured out the answer. I'm like, you girls are so smart.
And they love that, I'm sure. That was like, yeah, that's it's
It's
trusting.
fantastic.
You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be like the be all, you know, like it's not going to take away from your authority to let other people in the room have a say or have some kind of input because they know stuff too. You know, you have to trust that these people are experts and they're smart, you know.
I think oftentimes, we get stuck in the, we're impersonating, trying to be who we think we are supposed to be.
We get
Trying
in
to
our
be who
heads
I
about
thought I
it.
was supposed to be, but I'm really this. And can we just get real here?
And you know, people love authenticity anyway. They love it better if you're just real, just be you. And I like to think of it as I'm having a conversation with a group of amazing people, and I can learn from them too, you know. So, yeah.
Well, you get a lot done. I mean, I've been watching you, and you do so much, and I really respect what you do. How do you stay organized? Like, what's your favorite organizing tactic to keep yourself in line?
Yeah, I've really had to work on this because I'm not naturally all that organized. If you saw my desk right now, you'd be like, "Oh my gosh." But I have developed some systems. I use Google Drive a lot and Dropbox for like storing things. I use this is something I've just discovered recently, you know, when you're in your Gmail, you have the task bar over there. I use that all the time. Every time, instead of writing it on paper, I'm like, oh, I'll just put it in. I look at it every day. And man, I tell you, that has been huge. A huge, I could put a time on it. I can put details. I mean, it's just been, I could put a link in there. You know, like right now, I have to go fill out a summit form. Well, it's right there. I just go get it. That's been huge for me.
Love Google Task. And you can take that email and turn it into a task as
Yeah.
well.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
so, it's so robust and so cool. And once you figure out that you can put hyperlinks in task,
I know. It's like
done.
changed my life, I tell you.
Right.
So that's been a big one. And of course, my calendar, you know, I live by that. And I also like to use Asana for task management and with my VAs, especially. I use it mostly for JV promotions for some reason. I think that task thing in Google is fine for to-dos. And then I use Asana for,
Yeah, for like collaboration. Like I use Trello, which is, the Asana equivalent. And that way you can have the team in with all your other details. They don't need to know your day-to-day, hey, I have to fill out this summit form, right? But they do need to know, hey, I just said, that in fact, that's what we just did. We promote each other, we put it in something so but somebody else knows what they're doing and they can do it.
That's been
Delegate.
yes, delegate, delegate.
Delegate, delegate. So what do you think if someone's just starting out, what would you suggest to them? An hour, a day, a 2 day, what do you say for just
Keeping
starting out presenting
oh presenting
or doing workshoppy type of thing or training?
oh so
I know that's a hard one.
I well there's so much to it. It's amazing now that I've dived deep into just workshops. It's amazing to me how much there is to it, but I don't like to overwhelm people either. You can and I always say, yes, we want to work on your workshop and get it to where it's really converting well, but don't wait. You can't wait until it's there before you do it because you can't make it perfect without doing it. So just go start doing some workshops and don't worry about it. If you have two people in the room, okay, do the workshop because you will learn more from doing it. And then you can go back and look at how did that go? What landed, what didn't? Watch the recording, have somebody give you feedback, look at Your registration numbers, did I promote it well enough? So that's how you tweak it. You systemize the whole thing, and that's a step a lot of people don't do. They do a workshop and they like, oh, that wasn't very good, so they throw it out and start all over. And then you
Yeah.
have to create a whole new workshop. I used to do that.
Well, we're creators. I mean, that's the whole problem, to rein ourselves in. I say I'm a reformed squirrel chaser. I'm going to
Yeah.
stop chasing squirrels and stick to the script, or stick to one thing. But that's what we do as entrepreneurs, is we love to create. But I think it's great advice. Just stick to the one and fine tune it, look
Into it.
at it, analyze it.
Yeah. So start thinking about what is the, if you're going to do a workshop, let's say you got a workshop next week, what is the result you want from that workshop? First of all, what do you want people to step into with you? Is it a course? Is it a coaching program? What is that thing you want to offer? Do you want to offer a discovery call so you can then offer a coaching program? Decide that first, and then you need to know your audience. You need to know what it is that they want. And if you don't have that dialed in, start talking to people that are in your audience and find out around your topic. This is another big deal that people struggle with, is getting that topic dialed in to one thing. And I call this the one thing principle. When you're teaching, and back to the appetizer idea. Teaching a workshop, you got to keep it focused on just one thing. Don't try to teach five different things. Don't try to teach your whole process or your whole method. Just pick out one piece of it, maybe the very first step of it, that would give them a chance to get some ahas around this. To really, it's more about like them being aware of what it is that you do and them being aware of how they need it. So you need to get it focused down to one small little thing. And then, like I said, you can spend an hour and a half with them doing all kinds of really cool things around that one thing. And then plan, just go plan it out and go out there and say, hey, I'm doing this workshop. Throw it on social media. If you have a list, email your list. If you have some friends that could email for you, and just see what happens. That's how I used to approach my workshops. Let me put this out there and just see what happens,
Well,
And don't
you
be
just gotta do
afraid.
it, you know?
Don't be afraid to test it. Don't be afraid for it to not be perfect. Yeah. And
I love
then you'll refine it and it'll change, it'll evolve, because you're going to learn every time you do it what worked, what didn't, what attracted people, what didn't attract people.
it.
And eventually, you'll have an asset. It becomes an asset for your business because it makes you money.
And that's the point of being in business, making the money, not just speaking to speak.
Yeah, and there's actually several, I should count how many, advantages to just jumping in and doing a workshop, even if it's not perfect. One of them is that it will build your audience because you're going to have people register. And two, it's going to give you visibility because you're going to put it out there somewhere and people start hearing about you. And three, it allows you to have time to connect with these people that show up in real time, not just seeing your post or your video, but actually in the room with you. And this is so valuable to people. They love that. They'll tell me that all the time. Like, I followed you, I've been on your email list, and now I'm in the room with you. It's just really cool. So those three benefits are worth it every time, whether it turned out well or not. You're still gaining ground.
And
Even if you don't.
I think you're talking about in-person workshops as opposed to online
I'm
workshops.
talking about online. I always talk about online, but in person too. There's a little. There's different. There's a different promotion strategy for in person, and you have the added thing of finding a space and getting people there and all that
All of
kind of
that.
yeah, all that. But
All
they're powerful, though. They are.
that.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, if you had to look back, so what was your original career? What did you start out as, and how do you morph into doing, your talk?
I was a school teacher for 20 some years, elementary and middle school. And I loved the part I loved was being able to see the potential in my students and how different they all were. It was so fascinating to me, and I loved it when they would finally, catch on to something. And course, in the school system, you have to teach to the curriculum, and it was they try to fit all everybody into the same mold, and that was frustrating. But I've always loved seeing potential in people. I can see it. It's one of my, innate strengths, I guess. It's just I see it and I'm like, oh, there it is. And let me pull it out so you can see it, and let's start doing these things so you can develop it.
Love
So
it.
I loved that. I loved being my own boss in my classroom, being able to organize it the way I wanted to. And I think I learned some of my organizational skills just from teaching. But one of the biggest things was being able to map out a learning plan, like, a lesson. You have to have an objective and you have to teach a little content, and then you have to let them do something with it. And so I use that same thing now because that's how people learn. So, and I find that very fun to create what I call a little learning path to take them from where they are, and how can I slowly give them a little bit so they can get it and digest it and absorb it. And I love to watch that process. So the teacher in me is still alive and well.
Absolutely. I'm glad I asked that question because I didn't realize that was your background. Yeah, that makes total sense.
I have a degree in elementary ed, and then my husband and I ran a this is so funny. My husband and I ran a roller skating rink for about 3 years. So I went from teaching to being an entrepreneur or being a business owner and having no idea what we were doing. But again, I had these employees that I could teach and train and speak into.
That was your juice.
That was it.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I think as soon as you said that, my husband used to love to slow skate and skate backwards. He used to do all that
Oh yeah, so fun.
That's funny. That's so funny. So if you could look back and tell your 18-year-old self, give her some inspiration and some tips, what would you tell her?
Man, I'd tell her not to do a lot of things. I think probably one of the biggest things I would tell her is to really believe in herself, because I did not. And to speak up for herself, stand up for herself. I was very much a, I still am, kind of go with the flow kind of girl. Didn't have a lot of confidence, and it got me into some relationships that were not good. And so if I could go back to being 18 and realize like the things that I was good at naturally, like teaching, if I could have really focused in on that and developing the things that, really lit me up and understanding what I could do with that. I mean, I could have done a lot more than what I did do. And then, just really value who I am so that I could have avoided a lot of pain over many years and probably been a lot further along than I am now. And even as a teacher, I was very, very, I played small. I stayed in very small schools, small little private schools, because I didn't think I was good enough to teach in the public school.
Wow, and here you are teaching your the coach of coaches, girl.
I know. It's just crazy. And so I didn't earn very much money, and went on for years. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if I had just known all this stuff, what I could have done. But you can't go back. But I decided in my late 50s when I finally realized, okay, I got to figure this out. Who am I really? And I had to deal with some past trauma from those relationships that had made me continue to feel insecure. And anyway, came through that healing journey and came out of it like, oh, I'm pretty awesome, and I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to become a coach, and I decided at that point when I instead of regretting, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that, look at all this time wasted, and I started down that road, but then I decided, that's not going to get me anywhere. What do I want to do now for the rest of my life? And let me make this happen. Let me walk out my purpose from now on, because that's the only thing I could control. And I'm so glad I did that. And we're talking probably 15 years ago now. And now I can look back and say, see, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm doing what I was called to do. I'm doing what I'm passionate about. I'm changing lives and impacting people. And I wrote some books, and I'm speaking and coaching, and running workshops and events that I never would have thought I ever would have done this. I used to get in front of a, when I was student teaching, in front of a classroom, and I would just want the floor to swallow me up because I just froze, you know. And
You're
now,
so good. You're so good at what you do. So I applaud you for
thank you.
doing that. I've always respected you with what you do, for sure.
Well, thanks.
So, what I know you have something to offer. So let's talk about that, the goodie bag for the audience here that's listening.
Yes. I don't remember what I told you I was going to offer, but I do have a downloadable guidebook called Workshops That Win Clients. And that follows my framework that I've developed called the Clients Framework. It's an acronym, and each letter is a step in this process. So you can follow that and put together a workshop, but it also comes with a free ticket to my 3-day event coming up soon that will, for 3 days, and it'll be coming up soon no matter when this podcast drops. In those 3 days, we will go through that step by step, and over that time, you will actually create your workshop with me in that event. So it's an
Nice.
implementable thing. You walk away with your workshop mapped out and ready to go. So,
Love it. Love it. And that's for creating a 3-day workshop or any kind of
but
workshop.
no, it's for what I call the client enrollment workshop, which is the workshop that is the one I've been talking about that you refine and test and get it so where it you can
Got
run it every month and it becomes that cash register for you, basically, becomes a system.
I love it. Well, I looked in the show notes and that is what you gave us a link for. So we'll drop the link down in the show notes so that you'll have it. And I highly recommend if you want to do anything like this and land clients, do it through speaking, do it through workshops. And Janelle's a girl to learn from. So that's why she's on the show today. Is there anything that we should have discussed? Anything that I'm missing here in our conversation that you really wanted to talk about?
I think that I'm just thinking of what some of my clients run into as far as challenges around this, and one of them is just that, like I was talking about me and my journey with no confidence, is that piece of confidence, that place of who would want to hear from me, who would want to come to my workshop, is anybody going to come? And that's a big fear, and it's a big block for people there. It's and it makes sense, right? Because if you put that out there, you're really putting yourself in a vulnerable place. What if no, I've had workshops where nobody came. I know what that feels like. And the thing is with that, I just decided, okay, nobody came to that one. Let me look at why. You know, did I promote it well enough? Or, excuse me, was I, one of them was in a library and it was in an area that wasn't really a good area. It was a rural area. It wasn't my place. It wasn't my geographical area. But, you know, take that perspective of I'm going to put myself out there and then I'm going to learn from, you know, mistakes or so-called failures. I'm gonna look at what happens, what goes well, what doesn't go well, and I'm gonna just keep improving it because I want to be really good at this. And that's the only way you can get really good at that. So don't be afraid to step out there. Don't worry about how many people are gonna come or what if nobody shows up. If nobody shows up, you can practice. If one
Exactly.
person shows up, do your thing. Do the whole thing as if you had a room full of people.
Yep.
And those people will start to manifest.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, half the time when there's only a little bit of people, it's actually better. Like you get better because it is more intimate and you do start doing discourse because you're a little bit more nervous because, oh, there's only a few people. And then you start talking to them and they start talking to you. And then it's a better thing.
It
So,
is.
yeah.
And you know another way to think about that? If you're doing your first workshop, first few even, and there's only a few people in the room, that's good because you're going to make mistakes and you're going to have hiccups, and you don't want that to happen in front of 100 people.
That's true. Truthism right there.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show. I know you're super busy getting ready for your workshop,
Yeah.
and I'm excited. I'm going to drop in and see you live in action another time. So thank you, Janelle. And for all of you below, make sure to download this. Even if you even thought about doing a presentation, you want to land some clients, go ahead and download that book that will help you. So until next week, you guys, if you like this, please comment. Please give me a thumbs up. Comments are the bomb. Share it with your friends. Make sure that you spread the love of the Organize and Energize podcast because I love you and I'm hoping that you love me back. So until next week, we'll see you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you want to hear more, feel free to subscribe on the platform of your choice. Also, if you feel so inclined, I would truly appreciate a good rating from you to me. Have a stellar day.